Book of Philippians.
We long to be like Timothy insofar as we can. And the passage we looked at last time has the heading, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And they put the two together. But the two situations are quite different. And the people involved are quite different. And what really is taught is quite different between what we see with Timothy and what we see with Epaphroditus. So I'd like to look especially at just one thing I'd like to do is just touch up on Timothy again, because there's two things I didn't say that I should have said. And I'd like to look at those things. Remembering what we looked at last time in the first part, we're going to especially look at Epaphroditus tonight. Let's read. Follow along while I read from 19 to the end of the chapter. This is chapter 2 of Philippians. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not for those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things will go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. So we look at Paul in that passage, or we look at Timothy in that passage, the thing that I didn't emphasize that I ought to have is how much Timothy was like Paul. There was a genuine interest in people. That's how he's evaluated. We looked at this as an example of who will take over for Paul when Paul goes. Paul always knows that at any time he could go. He doesn't know what will happen. He's in prison at the time he's talking. What kind of a person can take over? Well, he says there's nobody like Timothy. And he tells us things about Timothy that are wonderful. We see that Timothy has a genuine interest in people. Verse 20, he says, I have nobody that like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. That's one qualification that Timothy had that made him dear to Paul. Also, he wasn't a corporation climber. He wasn't out for his own ends. And we all know there are people that are in the ministry, but it's with a view to a bigger church and a better situation and a more effective platform to make their message known. We've seen that kind of thing. And that wasn't Timothy. He wasn't out as a corporate climber in an organization. He had not his interests at heart, but their interest. I have no one else takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So that's another qualification that he isn't out for his own ends. Also, he's committed to the vision. You know that Timothy has proved himself as a son with his father. He served with me in the work of the gospel. It's obvious that he catches the vision for what's going on. Like Paul, he had a vision for what they were going after, and he had the same vision. He caught the point. He caught it. And that was one of the characteristics that made him dear to Paul, that he caught the vision, and he wanted to send him back to him, back to them. He wanted to be able to make contact with him and send him back because he's able to trustworthy way, evaluate what's going on. He was a trusted representative. I can send him, and it's like sending myself. That's a wonderful testimony to the man. And then he's a true fellow worker. Verse 24 has, he's a true fellow worker. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself shall come to soon. So That's the qualities, and those kind of qualities were the thing that we see in Paul. He found somebody who had the same view toward the church that he does. Paul was not building a huge organization. His goal was not build this monolithic organization. People who think that somehow Christ intended to establish this big situation, they look to the Gospels or the Bible, and they try to say, well, what pattern do we have for building a denomination? And the problem is they don't have a pattern for building a denomination. God didn't desire to build a denomination. And the people that think that unity, that Christ's prayer for unity will come when all churches melt down their doctrine to the least possible denominator and all join hands and rejoice as one big organization, that's the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer, that we be one, as he and the Father are one. Well, that wouldn't be the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer at all. And the church is one. In every place where Christ is loved, they're one with everyone else. What Jesus prayed for is happening right now. We're one with those that love Christ in any part of the whole world. And it's not a monolithic organization. Well, Timothy wasn't out for his own good. He wasn't out for his as a corporate climber. Paul wasn't. And what was Paul's goal, in fact? I would like you to turn just a couple pages to Colossians chapter 1, 28. When you think of what did Paul have as a goal, you want to think of what are you going after? What do you want to achieve? 20 years from now, what do you want to have? Isn't that what you ask a young person who's starting out in his life? 20 years from now, where do you want to be? Okay, now how do you work out getting there? There's some kind of a goal you're supposed to have. And Paul tells us what his goal was. Look what he says in Colossians 1 and verse 28. Let me find this. Verse 28, Colossians 1. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. What was his goal? Present everyone perfect in Christ. That the people to whom he ministered would be made like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his goal. His goal was very personal with the people he was working with. It wasn't that my 10-year plan is to have a huge organization with a proper structure so it can be handled properly. The person that's looking for that doesn't find much help in the Bible. And that's the way Timothy was. That's the way Paul talks about Timothy. He's not a climber. He's not trying to establish his own will. He's not trying to present his own program and get people to be on board to what he's trying to do. Wasn't Timothy. It wasn't Paul. Paul wasn't doing that. He wasn't trying to build this big organization with him at the head. He wanted to exhort every man, teach every man, present every man perfect in Christ. He was interested in you and me, not in the organization. I mentioned appreciating Bill Gothard and the fact that his view was build people and God will take care of the organization. And God gave him a wonderful window of opportunity, and he really did build in ways that still benefit me. And I know many who benefited by his ministry as he was working on building people, not in building the organization. So that's the thing. Timothy was like that. And Paul is like that. But the other thing that I think I should have mentioned is that Jesus was like that. Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. His goal was not to establish something for himself. He didn't write books that people would be able to pass down and they could find even an autographed copy of something that he wrote. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't trying to accomplish that sort of thing. Not my will, but God's be done. I do always the things that please my Father. It says he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to fulfill God's purpose. He wasn't climbing in the organization. I mean, we can say, well, he already was the top. Well, that's true, but it wasn't the kind of organization that we think of when we think of a CEO. Jesus wasn't a CEO. He didn't have all kinds of assistants or vice presidents that were appointed, and then they had their assistants and their company and their office rulers and a whole hierarchy. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. That's why it's so frustrating to people that want to have it and they can't find the principles that they need from the Bible. God wasn't doing that. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't come with his own. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of my Father who sent me. His whole goal was to be like what he sees in Timothy. That's something I appreciate about Boaz. Now, let's say, no, this is jumping way over. Boaz really appreciated the kindness and generosity of Naomi, really appreciated Ruth's humility, because Boaz had humility. Boaz really cared about people. Boaz sacrificed himself for others, and when he saw that same quality in Ruth, he admired it. You always admire to see in somebody else the things that you are pursuing in your own life. What you want in your own life, you see that in somebody else's and you admire and appreciate it. And Boaz did that with regard to Ruth. And Paul did that with regard to Timothy. And Jesus did that with regard to all who follow him. He's got that kind of an appreciation for those who want to follow him. So really, when you look for who takes over the responsibility, the rule of thumb is the one who's most like Jesus. That would be the goal of somebody who's most like Jesus. That seems to be what Paul wants, somebody who has caught the vision in the way Paul had it, and Paul got it from Jesus. And that's really the thing that's the thing I didn't mention. I didn't properly get to Jesus, and that was made it worth taking 10 minutes out of this message to do that. What we look at with Epaphroditus is a person on a mission trip. Epaphroditus went on a mission trip and almost died. And so there's a real concern. But he's appreciated for coming. But Paul is really concerned, get him home, because they're still worried about him. And that you see there. It's so different. It's just a different kind of thing. It's not the same thing as being an apostle. He's on a mission trip. And while he's there, he's serving, but he gets so sick that they're afraid he's going to die. And the people back home hear that. And Paul knows they've heard that and is so thankful that he didn't die and tells them, God spared his life and that was sparing me because I didn't have the added grief of having to lose a dear friend. But I want to send him back to you because I want you to see that he's doing fine and for him to report, and I'm really glad that he came. How different that is from Timothy. It's a different kind of thing. Is it valuable? Well, yeah, what he's doing is valuable. It was valuable to Paul. Is it in the same category as what Paul did? What Timothy did? How he looked to Timothy? Different category. He's looking for a different kind of involvement, and he looks at Epaphroditus as having been thankful for his coming and glad for his enthusiasm and his help and thankful that the people cared enough to send him. He was a great help. Paul was thankful for that. Well, may God make that an example for us when a person goes on a mission trip. He's an example. How do you respond when things don't go right? That can happen in any situation. So we see Epaphroditus, and he bore with it, and he went through, and he got better. But he didn't stop caring about the people at home that were worried about him. It's a different stage in terms of maturity and in gifts. It's wonderful to see what was there. He was used of God. It was good that he was used of God, but it wasn't the same thing as Timothy. And when they put it together at the heading and say Timothy and Epaphroditus, well, they both are important and valuable, but it's not the same thing. The idea causes us to think, what should a mission trip be? That's what this is. This is a mission trip. Paul has a need. They send Epaphroditus. They can't all go, but they send Epaphroditus to specially help in that need, and they're very concerned about how he can help. And then when he gets sick, they're very concerned and anxious about him. And it tells us, well, what is a mission trip for? I think you can go here to get some principles. What's a mission trip for? Well, now, what we have as mission trips, I'm not sure that they fit exactly into the category, but this is a mission trip, and see how this one looks. What are they for? They're to really help the people you go to. And that is the thing you're always concerned about. Is the mission trip for the people that are struggling there to help them, or is it for the ones who are going to make them better Christians? Are you hoping that this will be a real experience for the one that's going so that they'll grow and they come to real commitment to God and they'll learn something about the world and the mission need? It's not the same thing as Epaphroditus. They sent him because there's a need that Paul has and they think, I can't go, we'll send him to help. That's not always the... We wonder if that's always the motive. Are there other things mixed in when we send somebody on a mission trip? And is it something that those people going should have a vision? How can I really help the people that are there? That was the thing about Epaphroditus coming. He really helped the ones that were there, helped Paul. And it's not... Well, of course we pray in the circumstance that we call mission trips. We pray that it will be a deepening and enriching experience for the people going. But that wasn't the reason that Epaphroditus was sent. And their hearts were concerned about Epaphroditus. He wasn't with a lot of experience, and they don't think of him as a missionary. They just thought of him as a help. And he went as a help. So that was a wonderful thing, that he really helped real needs. They were worried when something went wrong. Concerned for him. Of course, they'd have been concerned but Paul, if Paul were sick, but particularly concerned because there's one of us and they're there. Well, we've had that kind of situation. We've prayed for guys that have gone on a mission trip and had a problem. It does happen. Mission trips can have that. So should a person going on a mission trip think, I want to be a real help to the ones that are there, and I need to be ready for problems. I need to recognize that it may not go all that smoothly. Are those two things that you could say facing a mission trip? Well, those are two things that perhaps I could have in mind. It has him risking his life to help Paul. I mean, this guy was a guy that really was willing to help, and Paul sees him as risking his life to help. And Paul commends that, is thankful. He didn't just come for himself. He came for the work, and when he saw the work and what he could try to do, he risked his life to do it. And now the reason that he was nearly died was sickness. It wasn't that he... fell off a tree and broke something, or it was a sickness of some kind. That was not crucial to what he did. He came to help, and he really wanted to help, and he went there to really risk his life to help, and in the context of it all, he got sick. And so they were concerned about what was going on. They were concerned for local leadership. Notice it says, I mean, he was concerned for Paul. What was going on with Paul? Not primarily concerned with how can I reach those people and do that, but what about Paul? How do I help him do the work he's doing? That was the goal that was there. Could a person going on a mission trip just think on the way, how can I encourage the ones that are doing the work? Is there a way that God will use me to do that? I don't want to just be another burden on everybody that they've got to minister to me and help me minister. Maybe I can go with a sense, maybe I can get close enough to the people in leadership and really encourage them. Epaphroditus did that. He really encouraged Paul. He went with a vision for what Paul was doing, trying to make him make successful in what he's trying to do. That certainly should be somewhere in our goal in anybody going in that kind of situation. And of course, the great desire was to glorify God. And he did in his suffering and in everything else. Also that he might be an encouragement to the home church. Going back, Paul can envision him really encouraging the church that he came from. He came from Philippi, he comes back to Philippi, and you see a wonderful encouragement that he be able to lift up the people that are back there. Let me read again the verse 25, having got an idea of what seems to be going on. See if we see that and see it fleshed out in beginning with verse 25. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Got a high esteem for Epaphroditus and really commends him very definitely in sending him back to them. This fellow did well. He's a fellow soldier. Very encouraging idea that he had of him. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. So he came to minister, and he really cared about the people the people back home. Now Paul didn't have a place back home to say, I'm caring about the people back home. Paul was very clear that he has got a ministry, he's going on the ministry, thankful for those that support him, but not worrying about the people back home and what they thought. He wanted them to pray for him, but basically he was on a mission that it wasn't connected exactly with being sent off by somebody as a missionary helper. Excuse me. So you've got he was concerned about those people. They were anxious. It says, therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and may have less anxiety. Paul knows they're worried about this guy. They're glad. He's glad. They worry about this guy, but he realizes, I can't keep him here. I got to send him back because they're anxious about this, and we don't want him to keep worrying. And it's just a relationship that's different between Paul and Timothy and Paul and Epaphroditus. Not the same thing. And it's not wrong. Epaphroditus was much younger, and he wasn't gifted and commissioned in the same way that Timothy was, so that he's not thought about in the same way. He's very valuable. He appreciates him very much. It is an encouragement. But he knows the people back home are worried, and he's glad for him to be back. And so he says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. So he says, I appreciate you wanting him to come to help me. And he did help me, and I'm very thankful for that. He got sick, and I know you guys were anxious, and we were anxious, and I was anxious that he'd be able to get through. And thank the Lord he did get through, so I didn't have that sorrow to add on to everything else. And I'm very glad to send him back, and you receive him back as a triumph, coming back in triumph, accomplishing something and doing something good. And was it the big, great job that he did? Well, no, but it was significant and valuable. It encouraged Paul. It encouraged the work. It showed the evidence of God's undertaking for him. You saw God working in him. You saw a heart that wanted to serve God. And God brought a great deal of good out of his going. Was he the same kind of minister that Timothy was? No, it was a different thing. Was it of no value? No, it was of real value. And we probably could get principles or look at things in Epaphroditus' life and experience that we could think of if we're called to a mission trip. What can I do if I go? What would be my goal? In all those things, one can talk about it to the praise of Jesus, but how can it really be to the praise of Jesus? How can I make it so? Well, God had brought good out of evil in terms of the difficulty. Epaphroditus came and went through a crisis, and they were concerned for him and relieved to see him get through and glad to send him back so that he'd encourage them. But in all of that, though it wasn't good in itself, God brought a lot of good out of it. Paul really was helped. I mean, he did help Paul. There were some ways in which there were needs, and he did actually meet them. And that's what we really would like to see if people go on a mission trip. May they be sensitive to where real needs are. There may be needs for encouragement of an individual who's there helping everybody else but needs encouragement themselves. Could somebody from here actually encourage somebody who's there in a wonderful way, not just be another person to be helped, but actually reach out and help? Well, we pray that make them encouragement. Paul really was helped. And Paul was used to help Epaphroditus too. When Epaphroditus got sick, Paul was there to be concerned, teaching him, how do you respond to this sickness? And we pray earnestly and see them pray and see the rejoicing when he got better. Epaphroditus was helped and blessed by the time that he was. And there was praise to God. Epaphroditus is praising God and Paul's praising God and everybody's rejoicing and the people back home are glad. There's a rejoicing and a going on when God is pleased to answer prayers for them. There's a happy return, encouragement to the church at Philippi, honor to mission groups. Was it good that they sent him? Paul commends it completely. Good that they sent him. There were good things that came out of it for the church in Philippi, for Epaphroditus himself, and for Paul that sees this is an expression of your love for me, and I'm thankful for it. So Paul's praising God for a church that supports and encourages him, takes the trouble of sending somebody to be that help. Paul's encouraged. Epaphroditus was glad to do it, though he didn't expect what happened, and he goes back a sadder but wiser person in many ways, but he was used of God. And God was pleased to show his hand in him. There was a happy return and encouragement to the church at Philippi. Glad they sent him and really glad to get him back. That kind of rejoicing together is wonderful for a church to do that. It was an honor to mission groups. Perhaps a means of raising up others. He rather was hoping that his doing that would encourage others to be part of that is too, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. There was a sense of bring honor to the person that does that. And the goal would be bring up others, raise up others to help and undertake. There was real appreciation of the missionary, of, in this case, appreciation of Epaphroditus, and thankfulness for what he had given himself to do. Prayer was encouraged, church was encouraged, mission leadership would be encouraged, short-term, long-term, missions would be stimulated. Good things would come as these things unfolded in the life of Epaphroditus. Gives an idea how to prepare for missions and how to bring glory to God. Well, it seems that one could look at this and say, well, that isn't exactly what's being done when a mission trip goes. And there is a weight, there's a big part of it is the ministering to the one who's going. But could those who go actually say, well, I'm glad to be part of this group and I want to encourage others that are going too, but I'd like to find a way to really encourage the people that are there. I'd like to see if there's somebody that will be helped. Maybe there's just an opportunity where I'll be able to go aside and pray with the missionary, the permanent missionary there. And just say, could I pray with you right now? That kind of little thing. Maybe a person going on just an ordinary mission trip could have an eye to, how can I really encourage? How can I really help? Maybe have a view to, how do we really promote the ministry of this place? Sometimes the emphasis seems to be on promoting our ministry that we bring there. It's what we're doing to bring there, that's what we're promoting, and we're very thankful for the ministry we have as we do this and that. And obviously, they've judged that that may be a help to their ministry, but the reason for what they're doing is not just that the missionaries will, or the short-term missionaries will be encouraged to serve Jesus better. Well, that's good, but how does it encourage the work that's there? Is there a way? And I've not been on a mission trip. I don't know whether it really is possible to sort of not stand out as a person who really reaches out, but in a very quiet way, not noticed. Go next to people who need encouragement who work there and say, I'm thankful to be able to come to this work. I see what God is doing with you, and I will go back and pray for you. It's a privilege and a pleasure to have been part of this work. Could some kid in an ordinary mission trip be that kind of blessing to the one who's organizing the whole thing and helping all the kids feel busy and involved? Could the individual kid be a real help to somebody? Could they have that vision of saying, I'm going to help them, I'm not going to have fun? And you're in the midst of a lot of kids who might be going to have fun, because everybody doesn't go to a mission trip for the same reason. And everybody's heart is not where Timothy or Epaphroditus' heart was. So encourage people to have the heart that Epaphroditus had, to go with that kind of purpose of actually helping them, to not be there to promote themselves or to benefit themselves, but to reach out, understand a ministry and be a part of that ministry, sacrifice for the sake of the ministry and come back and report on that ministry. That kind of a thing is much more to be desired than just, this is the adventure that we had when we went. Now, I know it's so mixed because there's different theologies that send forth the mission trips and support them, and different ways of looking at things and different weighting of different goals. So I would just think there may be somebody who's going that will be encouraged to say, I would like to be like Epaphroditus, except I don't want to get sick. But I would like to be like Epaphroditus and actually help the missionary, actually make him think that we are concerned for him, actually be a representative of somebody who cares about him and prays for him when I'm not here. May I be that? I think a person could say, I'd like to be that. And I do think we have kids of sufficient maturity to do that. Some that go do have it. I don't know the motive for everyone to go, but there are some that really is something of their motive, and we can pray that God will use them in that way. I think we've got a few that are going, and but may they May they be that. Whether everybody's caught that vision or not, they could catch it, and they could say, Lord, make me this. Give me opportunity. Anytime one goes to a place where you might possibly minister to people, you need to be on the lookout. Is there somebody you can pray with? Is there somebody in that group that has need? You go to a conference of some kind and realize there's places where you stop and just have coffee and maybe a donut. But you're talking with people with needs. Could you talk to somebody and maybe meet their need? Could you perhaps share a burden and even say, could we pray about that and pray with them? Could they go away from the ministry thing, conference thinking, the best thing for me was somebody asked about how things were going and prayed for me. That could be, a little person could have that kind of effect. And that may be a vision that we ought to have wherever we get to a point where we're with a bunch of people. Could we be useful to these people? Could we find a way to encourage somebody? Is there somebody who has need that we can recognize? That kind of thing of making us all think about being missionaries to a place that we're needed. And may God make us like Epaphroditus, except may he keep us from getting sick. But in other respects, may God make us like that and see that amazing the help that little old us could be in a situation with other people like us who are struggling in their own place. So those are the things that it seems to me we need to see from Timothy and Epaphroditus. Two questions. One is a real man of God with great responsibility. And one is a missions trip. But the mission trip is meaningful and valuable and accomplishes something and shows the deliverance of God and the help that God gives to people in distress. Amazing what's shown by the life of Epaphroditus as he went. But they were very glad to see him home and safe. And that's neat too. They loved him. They sent somebody they loved. And we're very glad to see him home and safe. Well, may the Lord help us. We'll have certainly something of those feelings when we know people who go on mission trips. Be very glad to see them home and safe. And be very happy to hear how they really helped. May we pray for them that God really will help. We'll use them to really help in real ways. That they won't be the ministry, but they'll be strengthening a ministry that's already there. May that be the occasion. May God work that out to be the case. And may God help us to be that kind of person in the place where God puts us. Let's pray. Lord, we, all of us, know people that have gone on mission trips, and we long that those trips be not just an encouragement to the ones who go, and not just a deepening and a strengthening of their walk, but would be a real help to the people to whom they reach out. That they'll be able to really strengthen a work, find ways of really encouraging the ones that struggle there all the time. That they won't just be another challenge that person's got to take care of, having all these kids you've got to get busy. Oh Lord, may some of them have a vision for something more than that. And may they draw near to those people in need and show a heart that really is concerned. May they represent a church that cares about the people that they're going to. Grant us grace to be involved with those that we know that do this. Lord, use it in a powerful way. And thank you for Epaphroditus. Thank you for making him sick, getting him well, and bringing him through that difficult circumstance, and showing the delight and the appreciation of the people who send the missionary, and the happiness and their relief. Thank you for just that glimpse of that life of a church that we see shining forth. Help us to be a kind of church with life and with involvement and with concern for others and a reaching out and helping. Lord, give us such a spirit, we pray. Those among us that you'd work to make us like Timothy, with that kind of goal, that kind of vision, concern for people that they might develop into their fullness in Christ and be everything God wants them to be, and working to that end that individuals be